Now that we know that Mikey can sing, Brother O, he gets to sing down at the teen department from time to time. But I appreciate that special. Isn't it great to have families sing together, and moms and sons, and dads and sons, and brothers and sisters? And it's a great thing, and I appreciate that duet. Go ahead and take your Bible, if you would, please. I'm going to try to keep it within the time frame. Now that school has started, try to stay under an hour and a half. Just kidding. John chapter 8, are you there? Now, 2 weeks ago, I started on Wednesday night a message called Stone Throwers. I'm going to finish that up tonight. Just give you some things to think about. You know what? The people of God should never, ever be accused of being a stone thrower. Ever be accused of that. And we're going to take a look at some things tonight and that I think will help us. And sometimes we throw stones in such ways and not realize we're actually throwing them. And so I want to look at that as well. John chapter 8, let's stand together. This will be familiar to you. Verses 1 through 7. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, I want you to notice there that the response that Jesus returned was not that the woman didn't deserve to be stoned, but he decided a different approach rather than stoning. And that's what I want to look at tonight and finish this thing up on the message called Stone Throwers. Now, Father, would you bless now as we finish this up tonight and help us, Lord, that it not be named once among us as believers, as that which becometh saints, that, Lord, we should ever be accused of casting stones at someone. Because, Lord, we have to also keep in mind that if not for the grace of God, someone would have cast stones at us and we might not be in church today. And so we do ask now that you'd help us in this matter, that we might take the alternative route that you teach us in Scripture, that we might walk in your steps in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. I mentioned to you last week that there are several reasons why people cast stones. I mentioned to you that sometimes people succumb to temptations, such as temptation of the flesh, maybe temptation by friends. They get caught up in a stoning situation, and you understand when I'm talking about stoning, I'm not talking about throwing rocks. Okay, I'll tell you what most Christians throw. It's not rocks, but sometimes people just succumb to temptation. And sometimes it's even temptation by Satan, and people succumb to that. Sometimes people cast stones because we get hurt or offended by someone or something. And we take on that Samson mentality. Okay? Everybody know what the Samson mentality is? The Samson mentality is, I'm going to do to you what you did to me. Okay? That's called vengeance. And yet the Bible says, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. He said, I'll repay. So God says, listen, it's not your job nor my job to be a stone thrower. It's not our job to cast stones at anyone for any reason. But some people do because they get hurt or they get offended. Some people cast stones because they just say, well, that's just the way I've always done. That's all I know to do. And they've done it their whole life. Well, doesn't make it right, though. Just because somebody's done something their whole life doesn't make it right that they are to continue to do that. Then I said also, some people cast stones because we've had stones thrown at us. And so, you ever seen little boys out there that are playing army or cowboys and Indians or something that they're picking up? And now, where I was from, we used to have pecans. Now, we didn't have them little seed pecans. We had them, those big old soft shell pecans that look like torpedoes. And we used to pick up those pecans, and that used to be our ammo. And then if we couldn't find pecans, then we just went ahead and got rocks. And one time, I don't recommend this to anybody, one time we couldn't find anything else to do, so I went and got my little Daisy BB gun, and we shot each other BB gun. I don't recommend that, though. I just want to remind you that my parents were not raised in church. And so when I say I got a whipping, that's an understatement. Okay? It's not a whipping, it's a whooping with a capital H. All right? So some people cast stones because they have stones thrown in them. They've kind of got that Hatfield McCoy mentality. All right? Well, you did it to me. It's that Samson mentality. You did it to me. I'm going to just cast them right back at you. And then some cast stones because we feel threatened by someone. And for some reason, we feel that, hey, if we just cast a few stones their way and kind of make them look like the foolish one, then that helps us. But let me remind you where I left off last week is before we start thinking about casting stones, let me remind you of some scripture. Remember in Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 through 40, that there Jesus concluded his simple lesson by simply saying, love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what he's saying? He said, would you want anybody throwing stones at you? And the answer is, of course not. You say, but what if I deserve it? That's not the issue. The issue is not whether you deserve it. The issue is there's an alternative according to Scripture that God wants us to follow instead of throwing stones. And so he said, love thy neighbor as thyself. Remember, we scooted back to Matthew chapter 18, and Jesus spoke there that if you offend one of these little ones, what did he say it would be better as? That you have a millstone tied about your neck and you be cast into the sea. Now, folks, I'm just saying, it sounds to me like God's pretty serious about people throwing rocks at his own people. Now, it's kind of like this mentality. Brother Shane and I have talked about this a few times. You know, the thing about it is I had two other brothers. Now, we can beat the tar out of each other, put a knot on each other's head, but nobody else can do it. Okay? I mean, you can put a knot on your brother's head and you can duke it out, but boy, once you get outside, somebody jumps on your brother, you fix and jump on them. And it seems in Scripture that God doesn't take kindly of the brethren throwing stones at each other. And may I say, he doesn't take kindly of us throwing stones at anyone for that fact. And so he said that, listen, don't offend one of these little ones. We're to forgive for Christ's sake. And then if you'll remember in John chapter 8, he just simply said, he that is without sin. Anybody qualify? Neither did they. That's the reason, as you notice, nobody cast a stone because they didn't meet the qualifications. And so the truth of the matter is, folks, none of us meet the qualifications. So that means none of us should be throwing rocks and stones at anybody. Now, I want to pick up tonight, and I want to talk for just a moment about identifying a stone thrower. And I want to say I've been in ministry now for 24 years, and sometimes it's kind of difficult to pick out stone throwers because they don't always advertise who they are. And they have perfected their stone-throwing techniques. And so sometimes it's very difficult. But may I say to you that as a believer, you need to have some spiritual perception to realize when somebody is casting stones at someone else and have no part with that. Don't be caught up and be a partaker in their sins and understand what's going on. You need to be able to discern that. Now, again, it's been my experience that most stone throwers don't really think that they are one, but they just simply are expressing themselves in reference to someone or something. And many times, stone throwers have perfected the art so well that they're able to disguise their stone throwing by using it as a prayer request. Come on now. You know what I'm talking about? Because they don't want to be identified as one, so they have to cover it up with a prayer request. Or they may cover it up, not just with a prayer request, they may have perfected it in such a way to cover it up with a prayer request or maybe a concern. Brother, I'm concerned about so-and-so. Now, you say, well, preacher, what do? You just say, well, I'm concerned about it, brother. Let's pray about it right now. You know what that'll do? Many times that'll keep the stones in the pocket. And so we've got to be able to discern that. And yet people put a spiritual twist to it, whether making a prayer request or a concern or even, you know, say, hey, well, these people are being attacked by the devil, and, and or the family's being this family's being attacked, or the church is being attacked, and we use that as a method to cover up our stone throwing process. Amen. Now, I just want to throw that out there so we'd all agree that, you know what, I think to a degree if we look back on our lives, either if you haven't participated in it, you've been tempted to. So be careful not to get caught up in that. Now, what I want to do for just a moment here is identify some stone throwers here. And I want you to look, if you would, in Galatians chapter 4. You're going to need your Bible. We're going to try to do just a quick Bible study here for the next 20 minutes. Take a look, if you would, at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. I want to say, first of all, that too many of God's people are ready to stone rather than repent. Okay, let me say that again. I said too many of God's people are ready to stone rather than repent. Now, I want to read you this verse in Galatians chapter 4, verse number 16. Listen to what Paul said to the church at the church of Galatia. And here's what he said, or the churches of Galatia. He said, "Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" You see, folks, sometimes what comes forth from the pulpit, sometimes the truth is very difficult to swallow. But truth is truth. That's just the way it is. And may I remind you that even in Jesus' ministry, that as he began to get more intense with his teaching, there were some that walked with him no more. They could not deal with truth. And may I say to you that some, particularly if you're a new believer in our congregation and part of our membership, if you're new to Christianity, sometimes truth is hard to digest sometimes. I remember as a young boy, my mom... Now, I like broccoli now, but I didn't like it back then. And but I remember my mom putting that steamed broccoli and stuff out there and tell us, you know, hey, you need to eat this because it's good for you. Well, why is it that most things that are good for you never taste good? They need to do something about that, all right? It seems like everything that's bad for you is what all tastes good. But anyway, she would put that broccoli out there, and she'd put that in front of me, and I'd think, oh, my goodness. But you know what? I ate it because I knew it was the right thing to do. So sometimes truth is not always easy to digest. And sometimes you may say, man, I have a hard time with that. Okay, then just look into the Word of God and let the Spirit of God teach you that truth. Okay? And so we've got to be married to truth. So sometimes too many of God's people, they're ready to stone rather than repent, rather than to embrace the truth. Let me remind you that Jesus spoke truth, and many times, guess who wanted to stone him? Okay, the people wanted to stone him simply because he spoke truth. If you'll remember what got Paul stoned in Lystra, just preaching the truth. And because he preached the truth, the people listened, stoned him and drug him out and left him for dead. So basically what I'm saying is too many of God's people, they're ready to cast stones rather than to change their direction. Rather than to embrace truth and digest truth and repent of their way. Number two, too many of God's people not only are ready to stone rather than repent, but may I say, too many of God's people are ready to stone, listen to me now, rather than restore. Go take your Bible now, flip over to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. You say, preacher, why do people want to cast stones? It's easier to throw stones than to restore somebody. Okay, it's easier to kick somebody to the curb or throw somebody under the bus than to try to spend time to help them and recoup their life. It takes effort. It takes work. You know what? It don't take much to do this. Okay? So, too many of God's people, too ready to restore, or too ready to stone rather than repent. In other words, to embrace truth. You see, I'm afraid too many of God's people come to church with stones in their purse and stones in their pocket, ready to throw up at the preacher just because he says something that's true. So, all I'm saying is, folks, truth sometimes is hard to digest, but it's good for you. It's not going to hurt you. Now, too many of God's people are ready to stone rather than restore. Look at this, brethren. That's believers. Am I right there? Okay, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Now, you need to underline that. And listen, I've probably harped on this verse in 10 months of pastoring as much as any other verse. And you've probably got things written all around this verse and arrows pointing everywhere and lines drawn to this side of the page and notes written over there. But let me remind you again, it says, ye which are spiritual. You need to write out beside your Bible right there. He's talking about people that don't even consider to be a stone thrower. Okay, this is who he's talking about here. He says, ye which are spiritual. What's the next word? Restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Oh, look at this now. Considering thyself, lest thou also be what? You know what he's saying? He's saying, you cast stones instead of restore. There's going to be a day where someone's going to cast stones at you. And you're going to beg for restoration, and you're going to find none. So remember now, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. May I remind you that at the stoning of Stephen, who was the one that was there that held the coats and consented unto his death? Was it not Saul? Would somebody remind me what happened to Saul in Lystra? He consented to the stoning of Stephen. What happened to him? He got stoned. You see, just like there was no one to rescue Stephen, did God allow anybody to rescue him? No, he didn't. So what I'm saying is, you cast stones, it's going to come back on you. Okay, at some point, and you're going to plead for restoration, and you're going to find no restoration. So we've got to be careful. Too many of God's people are ready to stone rather than restore. You see, restoration is the biblical perspective of reclaiming the fallen. What good are people to the cause of Christ if we stone them to death? Now, you say, well, preacher, that woman that was caught in the very act of adultery in John chapter 8, she deserved to be stoned. And you're right. But did Jesus choose that route? No, he did not. He chose the route of what? Of restoration. And so he just simply made the statement to them, okay, boys, anybody here without sin, cast the first stone at her. And you know, these weren't even saved people, but they knew the law. And they knew that they didn't meet the qualification. So they dropped the stones and walked away. And then Jesus just simply looked at her and said, woman, where are thine accusers? He said, go and sin no, you know what, restoration. And so, listen, the biblical perspective here is not stoning, but restore. To restore. And you know what? I'm afraid that too many of God's people, the reason that we're ready to stone, as I mentioned before, because somebody's thrown stones at you. And so when someone falls or they fall into gross sin or maybe they backslide or get away from God, our first impression is, okay, where's my bag of rocks? See, that's our first impression. And that should not be your first impression. Your first impression is, where's my Bible? You know, what can I do to help this person? Again, let me remind you, what good are they if you stone them to death? They're of no use to the Lord if we stone someone to death. Now, again, whether they deserve the stoning is not the question. The issue is we're to have biblical restoration and follow the example of Jesus Christ. Let me say this and I'll move on to the third one. I wonder how many people are out of church today and despise Christianity, despise God and despise the Bible because some Christian decided to be a stone thrower rather than a restorer. Now listen, you come walk in my shoes with me for a while, knock a few doors, I run into them all the time. All the time. And you know what? They're bitter, they're angry at God, they're angry at believers, they hate church, and the reason being is, and here's how they put it, preacher, I'm sorry, I just had a bad experience. Now, when you hear somebody say they've had a bad experience, what they're saying is, the underlying thing is, somebody's thrown rocks at them. And let me say this, or in some cases, somebody's thrown rocks at one of their family members. Okay? So we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful about that. And so, too many of God's people would rather stone than repent. They would rather stone than restore. And then let me just say quickly here and give you one more, and that is, too many of God's people would rather stone than remember. Turn, if you would, to Revelation chapter 2 for a second. Okay, Revelation 2. Oh, we got to move quickly, okay? because I want to talk to you for a moment about stone throwing and how it manifests itself. All right? Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember the letters to the churches? Remember, this is a letter to the church at Ephesus. And remember here, if you notice in verse 2, the Lord says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. He said, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now listen, he told the church, he said, you've left the most important thing that I've left you to do. You've left off not just loving me, but loving people. What's the next word in verse number 5 that he tells them to do? Look at it. What's the next thing he tells them to do? Remember. He said, now you need to remember something here. He said, you need to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And what's the next thing he tells them to do? Repent. Well, that's two out of the three things we've talked about, isn't it? He said, remember and repent. And basically, the underlying truth here is, he said, restore. You need to be restored. So, in essence, he's covered all three in one verse, but he told them to remember. So, too many of God's people are ready to stone rather than repent, restore, and then most of us, you know what, isn't it amazing how we have short-term memory? And boy, we're quick to jump somebody's case, forgetting where we were when we were about their level of faith. Do you understand, when a congregation this big, not everybody's on the same level of faith. Some are at beginner and entry level. So, and by the way, I'll say this, that the years of salvation would seem to dictate that you would be higher and stronger in your faith, but you know that's not always necessarily true. Some people have been married. Some people have been saved a long time, and still have not reached maturity in their Christianity. And the reason that you know that is because when something happens, they reach in their pocket for a rock. Okay? That's usually one of the ultimate signs of immaturity. Okay? A mature Christian repents, they restore, they remember. All right? Now, here's what I'll do to finish up here. We got to move quick. Turn to James chapter 3. Okay? You say, preacher, how does stone throwing manifest itself? Well, I think it manifests itself in three areas. I'm going to give you some scripture, an example, and be done here, okay? James chapter 3. Turn there if you would, please. James 3. Beginning verse number 2. James says, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, you need to circle that, okay? Many offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, a mature man, a righteous man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. Listen to this now. And is set on fire of hell. So the first way that stone throwing manifests itself is through our words. Okay? We're not going to pick up a rock and throw at somebody, but boy, we won't think twice at shooting some words at them. Okay, that may be sharp words, that may be pointed words, that may be destructive words, that may be discouraging words, and listen to me, that may be death words to them. There's so many things that people can say that can be so cruel to an individual that are what I call death words. Parents, we've got to be careful at how we address and how we use our wording toward our children. I've heard with my own ears people tell their own children, you won't amount to a hill of beans. Or even go this far and say, you know what you are? You're a zero. Can I say to you that You drill that in a kid's head long enough, you know what they're going to think they are? A zero. And can I say this to you? You know what they're going to act like? A zero. And they're going to bring you years and years of heartache. Okay? So all I'm saying to you, the same thing that we do there, we have the tendency, if we're not careful, to do among each other. So sometimes stone throwing manifests itself through our words. And boy, I tell you one thing, see that tongue right there? That's nasty. There's a lot of things that have crossed that tongue right there I wish I could suck back in, but I can't. Because once they're said, and once they cross your tongue, you can say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, but you've already said it. Okay? That's like taking a knife and sticking right here in somebody's neck right here and say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. It's too late, you've already done it. And so we've got to be careful what we say. So many times, stone throwing manifests itself through our words. Number two, take your Bible, if you would, go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel chapter 16. Remember when Absalom came in and basically came in to take over the kingdom, probably would have killed his own father, but his father had enough integrity to just go ahead and exit the throne, let him have it. May I remind you, as he was leaving, remember that the family of Saul despised David because Saul, most paranoid man in the Bible. And Saul was always accusing David of something. Well, David decides to go ahead and exit the throne. And I want you to notice in 2 Samuel 16 and verse number 5, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth and cursed still as he came. Look what he did. And he cast what? He cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on the right hand and on the left. And thus said Shimei, when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man. Listen to this. And thou man of Belial. Called him a child of the devil. Now, I want you to listen to me, and I want you to listen to me carefully, because here's the second thing. Stone throwing manifests itself through our words. Number two, it manifests itself through our actions. Okay? This guy was quite open and quite blunt how he felt. May I remind you, it's not always good to say what you think, because many times if you let something dwell on your mind long enough, many times you will act upon it. And so here's Shimei, he was of the house of Saul. He already despised David. He came out, cursed him, called him, you bloody man, and said, you're a child of the devil. Now, we don't have time, but if we fast forwarded, David dies, calls his son Solomon to him, says, I want you to keep an eye on some people. You know who one of the people that he told Solomon to keep an eye on? This guy. So Solomon, wisest man in the world, goes to him. He says, here's what you do. You build your house in Jerusalem. You ever leave the city limits, you're a dead man. Now, quite some time went by. I think 2 or 3 years went by. Shimei's servant takes off on him. So he loads his crew, and he goes after him, gets him, comes back. Word gets back to Solomon, oh, hey, did you know Shimei left the city limits? You know what? Listen now, you know what that stone-throwing incident cost him? Cost him his life. Remember, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You see, that stone-throwing incident came back on the Apostle Paul. It also came back on Shimei as well. So many times, stone-throwing manifests itself through our words. It manifests itself through our actions. It's what we do to people. Oh, by the way, it's what we don't do for people as well. We have so many tools today at our fingertips that allow us to cast stones without ever seeing the person that we're throwing them at. Boy, isn't there so many things today that are so easy to cast stones, you don't even have to face them. And you can still throw stones at them. Here's the third one, and I'll be done. Okay? I said, we're not going to turn there. I'll just give you this one. Sometimes stone throwing manifests itself through our words, through our actions, and may I say, through our attitude. Now, you can just go read if you want to. I just got here written in my note. Just go read the whole book of Job. Can I say to you that it was not what they said, it's how they said it. Have you ever noticed that in the book of Job? Because they were very kind of around the bush at what they said, but it was the attitude in which they said it. And by the way, Job caught on to it pretty quick. You see, the thing about it is sometimes it's our attitude that casts stones. You say, like what, preacher? You ever seen people give you that old glare? Or the teenage one is not the glare. The teenage one is. Come on. You know what I'm talking about? It's the old eye rolling deal. So what I'm saying is it's not what these three friends of Job said. It's how they said it. It's what caused God to get irritated at them. So all I'm saying to you tonight is that stone throwing manifests itself through our words, through our actions, and through our attitudes. Too many bad attitude Baptists. And may I say to you folks, that needs to change. Say, preacher, anybody around here bad attitude? Not that I know of, but you know what? It don't take long to get that way. And all it takes is somebody to get on your nerves or somebody to offend you or somebody to say something you don't like, or the preacher to get up and he just pounds something and you go, ooh, 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 where's my rocks? Well, you know, I told you the little story last week. You know, when I busted the guy's windshield, it never made me feel, nobody profited from that incident. I didn't because I got a whipping. My dad didn't because he had to pay for it. The guy didn't because he had the windshield busted and he got mad. He's mad at everybody. Nobody profits from stone throwing. So can I say to you, church tonight, go throw your stones away. Okay, just empty your purses. Guys, empty your pockets. Let's don't throw a stone, let's repent. Let's don't throw a stone, let's restore. Let's don't throw a stone, let's remember, because you know what? If but for the grace of God, there go ye. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt I'm saved. No question about it. Sit your hand way up high. Say, I'm a born-again believer. No question about it. I've experienced.